So this is the third week we've been working with manifestation of great prajna. And I think most of you have been here for some of that. And and just a quick reminder, when Dogen is talking about manifestation of prajna, he's talking about emptiness, or we call it boundlessness. That's what he's talking about. And just like in the Heart Sutra that we chanted, that's what we're discussing. The subject is emptiness. And so we're told that Avalokiteshvara experienced this manifestation of prajna, or experienced emptiness completely, and came to realize form is boundless and boundlessness is form. So Avalokiteshvara was able to do that because of the depth of the practice. This next part deals with Indra and Elder Subhuti. Indra asked... before I say that, where we stopped last time, as I recall, was where we were discussing how do you take refuge in emptiness. How do you take refuge in it? Because that's what the monk we talked about last time said he wanted to do, was to take refuge in emptiness. And Candace asked the question, and I said, that's right, that's the question. How do you take refuge in emptiness? What does it mean to take refuge in this fundamental essence or reality as it's understood in the Buddha Dharma? So Indra is sort of the, let's say, the one in kind of who guides or leads celestial beings, or devas in Buddhism. And Indra asks Elder Subhuti. Subhuti was an elder who heard the Buddha's teachings and immediately joined the Sangha. And in Buddhist iconography, Elder Subhuti, as he's known, sort of understood emptiness better than anyone. So Indra asked Elder Subhuti, "Great Reverend, if bodhisattvas, great beings, want to experience the profound manifestation of prajna, how should they study?" So I also want to kind of model a little about how we study Dogen. So Indra asks Elder Subhuti, if we want to experience boundlessness, right, manifestation of great prajna, how should they study if bodhisattvas want to do that? And it's very interesting right there, because Indra, the one who is in charge of guiding, you know, of all celestial beings, is asking Subhuti. So the one in charge of celestial beings is asking a human being, how do we study emptiness? Usually we think in the West, right, we need to ask the transcendental ones. But it's just the opposite here. The transcendental one is asking the one who really knows form and boundlessness in his own life. So therefore, Elder Subhuti has some experience of emptiness that he's able to embody in his life. So right there is something very, very important. We're not going to find it in some transcendental place. Actually, those who are in the transcendental place, the celestial beings, are asking us. Very important little part. So he says, if bodhisattvas, great beings, want to experience boundlessness or the profound manifestation of prajna, how should they study? And Subhuti said, "Lord Indra of Kausika, if bodhisattvas, great beings, want to experience the profound manifestation of prajna, or boundlessness, they should study as they would study empty space. Thus," Dogen says, "studying prajna is empty space. Empty space is studying prajna." Then Indra asked the Buddha, "World-honored one," so now Indra's asking the Buddha, World Honored One, if good men and women receive, recite, reflect upon, and explain to others the profound manifestation of the Prajna, as you have explained, how should I protect them? Please teach me. And Subhuti answers for the Buddha. He says, Lord Indra of Kausika, do you think there is anything you need to protect? Indra said, no, great reverend, I don't see anything I need to protect. Subhuti said, Lord Indra of Kausika, if good men and women practice the profound manifestation of the Prajna, in other words, if we practice boundlessness, which the Buddha has explained, that in itself is protection. If they do so, they will not stray from it. So you should know that in case humans or non-humans want to find a way to harm good men and women, it will not be possible. Lord Indra of Kausika, protecting the profound manifestation of Prajna, protecting boundlessness or emptiness, which the Buddha has explained, and protecting the bodhisattvas who practice it, are not different from protecting empty space. So we've stopped there, and we talk a little bit. So the first thing to notice is that Subhuti, the one who really seems to, amongst the Buddha's disciples, really understands emptiness the most, right? He does the talking, and he says that if bodhisattvas want to experience boundlessness, they should study as they would study empty space. How would you study empty space? Just think. How would you study? Let's say there was something you wanted to study that was the most important thing in the world to you. How would you study it? So to study, as Dogen teaches, means intimate practice. Intimacy. To study is intimacy. And for Dogen, to study means to practice. And to practice intimately means to leave no gap. It means to become one with. You understand that, right? We've talked about that with Dogen. So Subhuti is saying, this is me trying to study Dogen. Subhuti is saying, according to Dogen, if you want to experience boundlessness, you should practice boundlessness. You cannot study it from outside. It is not an object of the mind to think about. There is only actually one way to study empty space, and that is, or boundlessness, and that is to become one with empty space. But lest we think that we have to become one with something that we are not, it is, you know what I'm going to say, right? It is essential, it is fundamental to the Buddha Dharma that to practice empty space is to become one with what we already are, because we are not separate from empty space. We are not separate from boundlessness. Form is boundlessness. Boundlessness is form. And therefore, the practice that we do is how we study empty space. The practice that we do is the practice of emptiness, or the practice of boundlessness. And therefore, Dogen says, thus, studying prajna, studying wisdom beyond wisdom, is empty space. And empty space is studying prajna, is studying wisdom. So, if we just begin to to ask, what does that really mean? Usually we might say, okay, I'm going to study something, or I'm going to practice something, but there's some fear in the background in our lives. There's some kind of problem that we have, and we want to be made safe. And so Indra asks, well, those who want to study empty space, they may need protection. So how should I protect them? It's a very important question. What will protect human life? That's what's being asked here. Or what will protect the life of the bodhisattva? And the answer that Subhuti gives is, do you see anything you need to protect? So he's asking Indra, can you penetrate? Can you come a little closer to understanding, to practicing true prajna, practicing true boundlessness, true emptiness? And can you see that that alone is the protection? Because in the world of oneness, there is nothing to protect because there is no separation. So again, this is one way of underscoring be one with, be at one with emptiness, be at one with boundlessness. Now, where is this going to happen? And we have to remember that this is, I'm talking from the Shogo Genzo. So for Dogen, this is in Zazen. When we practice being one with ourselves, when we practice truly and deeply entering the world of boundlessness or our true nature, emptiness, where form is boundlessness and boundlessness is form. So we use our form to experience, as the Bodhisattva did, boundlessness or emptiness. This is our practice. And because we're able to do that as human beings, the Bodhisattva life is able to function without fear of harm or injury. When we think about, say, Bodhisattva, we say, okay, someone who maybe he's trying to save all beings. I know that there's some part of us that's a little worried. Maybe it wouldn't be good for me, or maybe I should pull back, or maybe it's too much, or you know, maybe it'll hurt a lot, or whatever it is, you know. And that's true. It may. But do we need protection against that? If we really immerse ourselves in what we are, empty beings, boundless beings, do we need protection? Will we die of the pain of the world? What will harm us? We may experience harm. That's true. When we're separate. So that's talking from the side of it, from of emptiness. The other side of it is human life. Does that mean that we just tell people, go ahead, you know, bang me on the head, or starve my children, or do whatever you want to me? But no, it doesn't mean that. Because that also, it's a kind of dualistic, you know, way of being. So we want to take care of this life. So we understand oneness, we understand boundlessness, we understand emptiness, and with that understanding, we approach what life brings us and make a good decision. So that's form talking. We hold emptiness has our understanding of the nature of whatever it is that we're meeting, and we have to live a human life. And by doing both, the Bodhisattva can actually be walking on this earth, and it's us. But Dogen is asking us to understand that it's in our meditation that we meet this. Whether we're able to stand up from our meditation and then bring it with us into the world, well, that's practice too. That's practice too. But the place that Dogen is asking us to look first is in Shikantaza. Just sit, wholehearted sitting, empty sitting, completely boundless sitting. And that's where the rubber meets the road. That's where the practice of emptiness is embodied completely in body, mind, heart, spirit. So, we know from experience how challenging it is to sit that way. Why is it challenging? Because of the habitual patterns of the mind. So it's a great challenge to us. But the practice knows how to meet the habitual patterns of the mind. And therefore, the medicine is equal to the disease. Does anyone have anything they would like to say?
I remembered once asking Dr. Ong, my acupuncture teacher, because he used to, he was a Qigong master, great meditator, long time, etc., etc. But he worked with some really tricky people, very, very difficult. And so I once asked him, how do you protect yourself if you're, you know, with people who are really mean or really awful or really whatever? And he said to me, calligraphy. And it wasn't until years later I realized what he meant, because every night before he went to bed, he would do calligraphy with a huge brush and a huge piece of paper with his whole body. And he would be doing the kanji of peace and emptiness. That he would be doing them, so he was it, and his body was, you know, his heart, mind, body, everything. But this sort of concept of that I had of needing protection was my own little...
Right. Because when we contract and identify ourselves only as the personality self, we feel like I need to be protected, right? Kaz Ta-Nehisi, who was the editor of a primary translator of Shōwa Genzo, he was one of the first students of Murihei Ueshiba in Japan, who's the founder of Aikido. And he told me that when he lived with Ueshiba when he was a boy. And Aikido was forbidden by the U.S. Occupying forces in Japan after the war. So Osensei, as Ueshiba was known, would go into the woods with the children and teach in the woods. And Kaz said that, Ueshiba was not a very big person, but no matter what came at him, they would end up on the floor like that. And all he would say was, this is breath. This is breath. This is breath. So now Kaz is going to be, I think, 84 or 5 this year. And he told me about 10 years ago, he's a calligrapher and painter, as you know, so quite great. He said he finally realized that when he does his calligraphy, he finally understands this is breath. Finally understood that's what Ueshiba, and that he had been living Ueshiba's teaching, this one sentence, his whole life. So, if it's breath, complete expression, Do you see anything that needs to be protected? No. It's only when we contract that we say, oh, this is not good. I need to be protected. And again, that doesn't mean we let people come and, you know, break into our house and do that, because then we're actually not protecting them, as well as our families. It is very, we have to be very honest about this. When we sit down, when we come and sit down every morning, or however often you do it, or just on Wednesday, when we sit down, it is our time to engage reality fully in a way that we may not do the whole rest of the day. But that is our time. And the practice that we're doing is not less than that. It's not short of that. This is empty time. This is boundlessness time. This is the time for our boundless nature to express itself in zazen. Calligraphy. This is breath. It's why I... you know, try to encourage people to take it that seriously. And not, you know, when we say, I respectfully say to those who wish to be enlightened, do not waste your time by night or day. What do you think waste your time means? It means not be there. Not be there how? I'm here, see, I'm sitting on the pillow. Not be there completely and fully in your whole nature. So rather than get into some kind of dyadic model of, oh, I'm doing good zazen or bad zazen, oh, I'm not there completely, or, you know, no matter what you do, it's empty. You can't escape it, really. No matter where you go, what you do, there's boundlessness there. But are we practicing it? That's the question. And that's the opportunity of some practice, is to practice our boundless nature. I think we have to stop. I've gone too far. Thank you.